Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Be seated. Be seated. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. Praise the Lord. It's just a great honor to be here with you today in the Rock Church of Petersburg. And I just want to thank God for your pastors today, some of the best people in the ministry. I just appreciate Brother Bill and Pastor Debbie, Pastor, that they've sown and they've meant so much to us. They were down at our church several months ago last year. Came down and ministered at our church, and we were just so blessed to have them there. They just sowed so much good stuff into our members, and we're still sitting on that today and reaping the fruit of that. Last time I was in this building was probably about 16 years ago Pastor Gerald Davis was here, so it's been a long time for me being back in this house, and I feel like I'm back in old England or something here with this new set on the stage here. But it's a great honor to be with you here today, and I brought my wonderful wife with me today. She's sitting over here, Colleen. She's here with me today. And the reason I brought her is in case I blow it this morning, I'll have somebody to sympathize with me on the way home. So it's always good to have a good traveling companion. So I see I got two bottles here, so this is a two-bottle sermon this morning. So we'll try to keep it in that range, amen. Before we start, I'd like to just go ahead and have our bow our heads, and we'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you and praise you so much for your goodness. I just thank you for this church today, these people that are here today. What a great congregation of people, and coming to the house of the Lord to hear what you have to say today, to be encouraged, to be lifted up, to be strengthened in you. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now for just opening your word today to us. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength, my redeemer. Bless these people today with the manna from heaven that you have prepared for them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you today about something that the Lord laid on my heart back a long time ago, and then he began to, you know, put more into this and speak more into it as the days drew near for me to come this past week. The title of this message is called Conquering the Pressure Points of Life. Conquering the Pressure Points of Life. Now, I just want to take a survey this morning and to see who's here. How many of you guys have been challenged, say, in the last year? Amen? How many of you have gone through some pressure situations in your life personally, maybe in your family and so forth? I think we've all kind of gone through some really tough times in the past year or year and a half or so, something like that. And I tell you, man, I find in Christianity that your life is like that in a lot of ways. Sometimes you're just on the mountaintops, but then sometimes you just kind of trail off into the valleys, amen, into the pressure places of life. It's up and down. I was talking to my wife a couple weeks ago, and I told her, I said, Colleen, I wish that I could just get like 2 weeks where everything goes well. It's hard to find those places where you have a place where just everything's just going smoothly and well in life and everything is just hunky-dory. But it doesn't take too long for something else to arise in life that the pressure's on. Amen? And that's just the way it goes. And we have to be prepared for that. Now, you know, when I was growing up, my dad, he played around with winemaking. He had a little kit that he got somewhere, and he wanted to try to start making wine. And so I remember when I was a kid, I was probably no more than maybe 10 or 12 years old, he started making wine, and it was the summertime, and he decided he was going to make something called dandelion wine. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that before, but it's something that they use dandelions. They go out, and he went out and picked a bunch of dandelions, and he was going to make this batch of dandelion wine up. And so he got all of his ingredients together and everything, and the recipe called that the mixture that he put together with the dandelions and the yeast and all the different things, and you put it in a pot, and it was called a pressure cooker. How many of y'all ever, you know, cooked with a pressure cooker? Okay, and so You put all this stuff in this pressure cooker, and then you put the lid on there, and you had to put it away for a season and let it ferment and let it start, you know, the processes of the wine would begin to take place within that pressure cooker. Well, he took the pressure cooker and he put it up underneath the house that we lived in. We grew up in a small house, a little one-story house, and so he had a crawl space. And he decided to take this mixture and put it underneath the house and leave it there for however long it took for this mixture to begin to take place. Well, I remember we were in the house one evening, and for some reason, this pressure cooker that he put it in, the vent that was on the pressure cooker was not operating properly. And so it could not release anything inside. So we were there in the house one night, and I remember just sitting there, and we were, I don't know what we were all doing, but we were just in the house, everything was quiet, and all of a sudden we heard something go off. And there was an explosion underneath the house where the pressure cooker, the pressure inside got so great that it just blew the lid right off. This is one of those heavy-duty metal, heavy metal-gauged pressure cookers that was just really really bulky, and it blew the lid right off of that thing, and it flew up and hit the bottom of the floor and hit it. And when it hit that floor, we felt the house kind of shake, and we knew something weird was going on. And so, he went out. And dug underneath the house and got what was left of the pressure cooker and the wine mixture. And, of course, that wine mixture was totally just gone, and everything blew out. And the pressure cooker was destroyed, and everything was just a big mess. So he lost that batch of wine. I say that to say this. You know, life is like that sometimes. We can get things going on in life, and it becomes like a pressure cooker. And if we don't learn to be able to release the pressures that we feel in life, then there's going to be an explosion that might take place that can not only damage you, but damage many people around you. Amen? And so I want to talk to you about that this morning, because we need to learn how to overcome these times in life when the pressure is on, and know how to do it in God so that God gets glory out of it. Amen? God wants to be glorified even in those times that we go through when we feel the pressures of life coming on in our situation. So why is that so important? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's when we are at peace and when we are at rest that God works best in our life. Amen? How many of y'all know that it's hard for God to work, do things through you and in you when you're filled with pressure? Amen. You feel that inward anxiety. You feel that stress that's coming on. And when you get into those places of life, and you feel it about to ready to boil over, it's very hard for God to work in your life. It's rest is when He works best. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, when you're at rest, He works best. You see, He wants us to work out of a place of rest and peace in life, not out of anxiety and stress. When we get there, it's very, very hard for God to use us. You know, Pastor Bill talked about going out into the community. It's very important that we reach out into the world around us. But when we're filled with anxiety and unrest, it's very hard to reach the harvest. Because people know that we're going through something, and they know, they sense it, they realize this person, man, there's something about them. They've got some anxiety or pressure in their life, and it doesn't project the person of Jesus Christ. So Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. I got some scriptures just to back up what I'm saying this morning. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says this: "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." See, when everything's going well, man, I'm like a fireball for God, man. When I'm at rest in my life, when I feel the pressures of life have subsided to a place where I can now handle it, that's when God can use me the greatest. And it's in those times of quietness and confidence that I find my greatest strength, amen? I feel like I can overcome the world when I'm at rest. And it, you know, when Jesus went to perform a miracle for 5,000 people, he had to feed 5,000 people one day. And talking about pressure, he had 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people. But one of the interesting things that he did in that story, before he fed those people, you know what he said? He said, I want you all to sit down in the green grass. You see, they had to come to a place of rest before he could perform that miracle. You know, that's what God speaks to us. He says, before I can work in your life, before I can do miracles, before I can perform my best in your life, you have to be sitting down. You have to be at a place of rest. And it says that they rested in the green grass. I just found that pretty interesting, because if you go back to Psalms 23, you'll realize that whole psalm is talking about the rest of God. It says that we have to lie down in the green pastures and be led by the still waters and have our soul restored before we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Come on now. See, that's the pressure point right there. The valley of the shadow of death is where the pressure's on. But you have to, the green grass, the still waters, and the restored soul come before you go into the valley of the shadow of death. Because see, when you get in that valley of the shadow of death, if you've reached a place of rest and peace and contentment in your life, then that table is going to be spread before you in the presence of your enemies. You're going to be able to handle that pressure, amen, because you're now in a place of rest. And that's what God calls us to. He wants us to stay in a place where our lid isn't getting ready to blow off the top, amen? Listen to what James says, James chapter 1, verse 19 and 21. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Swift to hear what? Swift to hear what God's saying. You know, when you get in a pressure situation, the first thing we need to do is say, what is God saying here? What is the instruction of God here? Be swift to hear, slow to speak. Before we open our mouths sometimes and say things that are not good for those around us to hear, or even us to hear, we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. Slow down. Don't go into that. Don't go into that wrathful rage and blow and go crazy. But be slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside. That's, I think that's a good thing. But when you get into pressure, let's lay this aside and let's listen for God. Let's lay this aside and let's listen for God. Therefore, lay aside all the filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and what? Receive. Everybody say receive. I'm going to receive with meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually strength. Because now you're going to get a hold of something that's going to strengthen you to be able to stand against this pressure. So receive with meekness, what? The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You know, I think that is truly the biggest battle of life, living as a Christian, is that when we come to the hard things of life, when we're going through the hardnesses of life, are we going to choose to let our flesh take control, or are we going to let the implanted word of God take control? We have a choice sometimes to make. We have to know which way we're going to go. And that's the best way when we choose to receive with meekness the implanted word, which will save our souls. See, the word is there. It's just sometimes hard to get a hold of. Amen? How many of y'all know sometimes it's hard to get a hold of it in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of all of the things we go to? Sometimes it's really, really hard to get a hold of that. But it's possible because God wants you to receive his implanted word. So we struggle sometimes, and I know I struggle. Man, I tell you, I really struggled as a dad. I remember my youngest son, Benjamin. He was, he was one of these kids that he would not, he could not keep screaming. Amen. He would scream all the time, and we were having a really tough time with him. The only thing that would work for him was this old swing. We had, you know, those swings that you cranked up, you know, and you put them in, and I put him in that swing, and he'd start swinging, and he'd just calm him right down, and he'd just fall right asleep. The only problem was it just only lasted about 15 minutes. Once it stopped swinging, there he comes. He just came alive again. He started screaming again. And I remember going through really, really difficult times back in those days. And it was like, but these things weren't being applied in my life. And I would just get so frustrated. And I'd wake up and I'd just go ballistic sometimes. And Colleen would start crying. And we'd just go into all these different things because I hadn't quite learned how to get a hold of myself yet. And I'm still getting there, folks. I'm still learning how to enter in to a place of rest for myself. But it is in these times that we live, especially these times ahead. And I believe that we're heading into some times when we're going to have opportunities to find to fall into the pressure and stress of life again. I believe that's coming. But we need to learn to gird up the loins of our mind and be ready against these times that are coming. Because God wants to work his miracles through us. I was working with a guy one time, years ago. And he was going through a real tough time in his marriage. And him and his wife were, you know, had some financial difficulties. And they had some problems going on in their lives. They had small children at the time. And he told me what happened to him one morning. They got up to go, they both worked, and they only had one vehicle at the time. They had to, you know, use it for both their jobs. And he got up to go to work one morning, and it launched into an argument. Him and his wife were going back and forth. The pressure was on. They were just screaming at one another. So they finally got out to the car, and they got in the car, and they started going down the road. He had to drop his wife off and then go to his workplace, and the whole time they were in the car, they were fighting and going back and forth at one another about something. And he pulled up to a stoplight. And there was a car in front of him. And he looked down at the license plate. And it read this: I am okay, you too. And he looked at his wife and he said, see, everybody's mocking me. It says, I mock you too. And he just went off on her like that. And he said, I can't believe everywhere I go, it's all against me. I mock you too. This driver's mocking me today. And his wife tried to calm him down. And she said, honey, she said, I don't think that's really what it reads. And he said, well, what does it read then? And she said, it reads, I'm okay, you too. See, the message was to him, I mock you too. But to her, it was, I'm okay, you too. You see, when we're going through a pressure situation and we're letting the rage of life take control of our lives, when the message of God comes, we'll read it a different way. We'll see it, it'll sometimes skew what God's really trying to say to us. But when we reach a place of peace and rest, instead of it's saying, I mock you too. God says to you, I'm okay, you too. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm okay, you too. You see, that's what the Lord is speaking. I'm okay, and you are too. Now, let me tell you what you need to do. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, because it's important that we understand what God is saying. Now, the pressures that we feel in life, the pressure is that God bring glory from your life. Amen. When we go through a hard time, what is God after? Well, it's so that it will bring glory to him and it'll bring glory into your life. So if we'll let these times have their way, the pressure that we feel can actually work for us, not against us. Come on now. God can use these times to bring something greater out of it. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says like this. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I want you to look at that phrase there. That this light affliction, first of all, it's a light affliction. You know, I'm like, how can this be a light affliction, God? This is a really tough deal we're going through. I mean, I'm feeling so overwhelmed with life right now. How can this be a light affliction? Well, you know, I looked up this word light, and it's something, in the Greek, it means easy to handle. How many of y'all ever felt like this is, I cannot handle this any longer? See, a light affliction is something easy to handle. Well, what is that light affliction? Well, it's the same thing that it speaks of when Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my what? My burden is light, okay? So it's the same thing that it's talking about here. When you use that word light, it's meaning that there is a burden, yeah, in life, but it's very light when you're under the yoke of Christ. When you're yoked up with Jesus, it's not that bad. You can handle it, amen? There is things that come that we can actually handle in life. We don't have to blow our lids and spoil the beautiful wine that's inside, but we can't handle it because we're yoked up with Jesus, amen? When we're yoked to Him, the burden becomes light. So that leads me to this conclusion. If there's something in life that I'm feeling so overwhelmed with and so pressured with that I can't handle it anymore, it leads me to one conclusion. I've stepped out from under the yoke of Christ. Because His burden is light. It's never overwhelming. It's never to the place where I can't handle it. So when I'm stepping out from under the yoke of Jesus, that means it's going to now overtake me. Amen. What have I got to do? I got to step back under that yoke. I got to get back under the yoke with Christ. Amen. Where He is now with me and I am with Him yoked up together. Now it's become a light burden. Amen. Now I can handle it. Now I don't have to blow up and go crazy and ballistic when those times come. Amen. His burden is light. But it says here something really good. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, it won't last much longer, is working for us. Amen. I like that. You see, I can either let these things that I go through, these trials that I go through, to work against me, or I can let them work for me. Amen. They are working for me. How do they work for me? Well, I'll tell you how it works. When I go through a trouble or an affliction, a problem, so forth, I can say this. I can say, you know what? This situation can either cause me to blow my lid or it'll cause me to grow up in God and make some wonderful wine for the Lord. Amen. It'll cause me to either go toward my flesh realm. And the Bible says if you sow toward the flesh, you'll what? Reap corruption. But if you'll sow toward the Spirit, amen, you'll reap eternal life. So you can choose, like, okay, which way am I going to go with this? It's hard, but I can go this way or I'm going to go that way. Well, what this thing does for me, it's working for me, helping me to fall in to the blessing, to the yoke of Jesus Christ, into the Word of God. Get back over into the Word. Get back over into the Holy Ghost. Amen. And let Him work something wonderful in my life. Amen. Let Him work. Let it work for you. Let these afflictions, these light afflictions, work for you and drive you farther into God. Drive you into a place where you're grounded and rooted in Him, praise the Lord. And I think that there's going to be a lot of that coming up, amen, that we're going to face other situations this year where God's going to give you opportunities to fall deeper into Him, amen. Fall farther in to His grace, farther in to the Word that He gives you, amen, and let His glory come forth. That's what it says. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, hallelujah. Let the glory of God come forth in your life. We must fall back under the yoke of God's Word. Now, I want to go to a section of scripture here to give you a winning formula of how you can bring this pressure that you feel under control and use it for the glory of God. And it's found over in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read you some scripture here in just a moment. But how many of y'all know that there is no temptation common to men in which God will not make a way of escape? You see, there is nothing too hard where God will not give you a way out. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The way of escape is God's way. How many of y'all ever been to one of those escape rooms before? You ever gone into, you know, they do these escape rooms where you go in, and what your job is they lock the doors, and they tell you you've got so many minutes to escape from this room, right? And they put in there all these different clues and things that you have to decipher in order to find out how to get out of that room. We did one years ago, and I failed. I didn't get out. I just kind of, I stayed in there and died, right? We've done these things before. I've never been able to get out. But the key is that I am to be able to find out what is the message saying to me in this room. If I can get the clues and I can understand the message, I can get out of here. And so that's what the Lord wants you to do when you get in to these places of pressure, is to find out what God is saying. Find out what God is saying. See, the key to your victory, the key to your escape, is knowing what God is saying. Is finding what the word of the Lord is, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, God reveals this winning formula that will help us to escape or to get out from under this pressure that we feel in life. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. So there's a good place to start right there. Cast it over on God. Get it out so he can start working in this situation for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, here's what he's doing. He's coming back at you, and he's going to say, you don't need to be listening to God. You need to be listening to your flesh. You need to be listening to your neighbor. You need to be to listen to all the negative reports. He wants you to get over there and start listening to all this rhetoric and start feeling the pressure again. That's what he's after. He's a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he devour. And he's coming to you to try to convince you that you know better than God. You can handle this better than God. And he's saying, no, you can't handle it better than God. God needs to be involved with this. Verse 9 says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know, I find that right there, that phrase. You know, sometimes we think we're the only ones in the world going through something. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, man? When you go through a trial, you know, and I think that's why, you know, Paul put that in there, is because we don't realize that everybody else out there is going through probably about the same thing we are, amen? It's comforting to know that it's not just me that's going through this, it's other people too. And, you know, there's all kinds of trials and things we face, but you know what? I don't think I've ever, as the Bible says, striven against pressure by sweating drops of blood. See, there's nothing greater than what Jesus went through. And normally, what I'm going through, somebody else has already been through anyways, and they're probably going through it right now. So when we feel like we're the only ones, we can feel so isolated. We can feel like, you know, God's against us, and I'm the only one that's dealing with this, God. How can I be dealing with this? And look at everybody else with a smile on their face. You know what? A lot of times, smiles can be deceptive. Sometimes what's going on underneath the surface of people's lives is not always what's reflected on the outside. But most of us are probably fighting the same battles that everyone else is. And so we have to realize that we're all going through situations of life. and realize that in the churches all over the place, our church, we went through some real tough times last year. It was beyond anything that I could ever imagine that would have happened. But the pressure that I felt last year was the greatest amount of pressure I've ever felt since I've been in the ministry, and that's 18 years now. I felt so pressured. I felt like, God, what are you doing? Why is our church going through these trials and the COVID and all this and financial woes? And it seemed like everybody in the church was just having issues and problems. And I was like, God, is this thing getting ready to blow up? Is it getting ready to just fall apart? It was the greatest amount of pressure I've ever felt. And it was unbelievable. But I know that it was not just me. It was many places that were going through this. We all felt the pressures of God last year because there was a lot of attacks on the church last year. But we have to realize that God is with us through the midst of it. Let's go on here, and I want to read you this last scripture. Verse 10 says, "But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while." Now look, when you're going through a time where it's stressful and the pressure's on, yeah, there's going to be a season there where you feel the heat. That's the fermentation process. Okay, it's boiling down in there. It's going on. But now what's happening is God wants to get you to release some of that pressure so that it doesn't overwhelm you, because he's making some fine wine in your spirit when that's happening. When you're going through a boiling point, or when you're going through that fermentation process, God is working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. He's going to bring some fine wine into your life. Amen. But there is some pressure with that. So you're going to suffer for a while. That's why that phrase is in there. After you've suffered a while, you see, you're going to feel that fermentation. You're going to feel that anxiety. You're going to feel that struggle back and forth of, is it God or am I going to just let it go? Or is it the Lord's word, or I'm going to listen to Aunt Sally's word? What is it that I'm going to do? And you're going through that. And it's working inside of you. That's the fermentation process. But the Lord says, you just let it boil a while, because I'm not going to let this overwhelm you. This is not going to overtake you. There's nothing that I'm going to put you through or let you go through, amen, that is going to overwhelm you, but I'm going to make a way of escape here. I'm going to let some of that pressure escape out of your system. And you're going to feel okay. It's going to come back to a place. It's going to be light. It's going to be a burden that is light. You won't let it overwhelm you, but you're going to go through this. And when you get out on the other side, the glory of God is going to be in my life as never before, amen. The glory of God is working. Amen. It's a far more eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. That God wants to bring in my life. He wants to make you better. He wants to take you higher. He wants to make you stronger than you ever were before. Sorry, I'm spitting a little bit this morning. Preaching a little bit. But that's the thing. It's working. Amen. It's working. Look at your neighbor and say, it's working in you. It's working in you, see? It's working in your life. And it's going to be that you go through a little bit of suffering, but it's okay. It's okay. And then it goes on to say this: after you've suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There's four things there. This is the winning formula of God, that if you'll follow these stages and steps in this process, he'll bring you out on the other side to where it's the glory of God. It's not that I let this pressure overcome me and it just took me out. But no, now I stand before you with the presence and the glory of God as I've never had it before. That's the end result of where we want to be. But he gives us four things: the Lord perfect, the Lord establish, the Lord strengthen, and the Lord settle you. Okay, so I want to just briefly talk about each one of these words today, and then we'll be done. Number one is the word perfect. Here's what God wants to do when we find ourselves in the pressure places of life. Maybe at your workplace. Maybe you're going through a marital problem right now that's pressure packed. Whatever it is, maybe you're feeling sickness or whatever, you feel that you've got a lot of pressure in your life. But number one is this: the Lord perfect you, okay? I want to give you some definitions this morning out of this text here. This word perfect in the Greek, it means to equip or to outfit, okay? So what he's saying here is when you get into some sort of stressful situation in life, the first thing God wants to do after you've suffered a while, the first thing God wants to do is he wants to equip and outfit you for this situation. See, that's an outfitter is a person that, like if you're going on an expedition or a journey somewhere, an outfitter will equip you to go through the situations you're getting ready to face. So he's going to equip us with something. He's going to give us, I call it a game plan, okay? God is going to give you a game plan. Now listen, that's what we have to first do when we feel pressure in life. Now, the other day, I have to tell you, man, I was talking to my wife the other day. I was going through some real difficulties inwardly with some struggles on a certain situation. And I'd been praying about it. I'd been feeling pressured about what I was going through. And the other day I had just gone to bed, and all of a sudden the Lord just spoke to me. And he says, "Here's your game plan." And he laid out what I needed to do. It was the voice of the Lord. Man, listen, when you get a word from God, it changes everything. I'm telling you right now, when you finally hear something from God, it changes the whole course of things, man. When the pressure's on and you hear a word from God, you're going to start, man, right away that pressure's going to start releasing, amen? It's going to start going away. Because now you got something that's stronger than the pressure you feel, amen? The word comes and it equips you. It equips you for the situation that you're going through. It's a game plan that God will give you. Now, he releases it. And he always releases it if we'll stop. That's why it says that we need to stop and just lay aside this for a minute and listen to God. I think so many times we get into situations and we fail to stop what we're doing and say, "God, what are you telling me here?" It's so simple. It's a simple step is to say, let's just stop and let's ask God, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Help me to know what you want me to do in this and really be open to what he tells you to do." When he spoke that word to me the other day, you know, my first reaction, and I'll tell you what it was. It had to do with ministry. It had to do with a ministry situation. And I spoke, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You're going to have to step out of the pulpit for just a season and get yourself back in the presence of God." Not giving up the ministry or anything like that, but there was a season. God said, "I want you to step out for just a minute. Give the preaching and the pulpit to qualified men that can get up there and do it. But you need to get back into a place with me." That was like, it was like honey to my lips. I'm like, but you know, I resisted it because right away I'm like, "No, God, I got to keep rolling. I got to keep pushing. I got to keep hacking away." And he said, "No, you're in the flesh." You see the difference? See, when the grace of God comes, you're not hacking. You're flowing. You're flowing with God. You don't feel overwhelmed with the pressure. But sometimes we need to back up a step or two and say, "Okay, I need to just get refreshed in God. I just need to find my place in God again." Amen. And I can't keep driving this thing home, because if I do, it's going to go off a cliff. I'm glad I'm relating to somebody out there today. Amen. But the Lord spoke that to me, and my flesh said, "No, I can't. I'm the man in charge." And God said, "No, you're not in charge at all. I am. It's in my church, not your church." Amen. The church belongs to Jesus, not me. Amen. I'm just his servant, praise God. So if he tells me to do that, I better do what he says, right? See, but the flesh wanted to come and take charge again. Say, "No, Lord, I've got to do this." He said, "No, if I'm not going to do it through you, it's never going to work." Amen? If God's not going to work through you, it's never going to work, folks. But the flesh wants to take control. And that's why the Bible says you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It's going to exalt me in due time, but I've got to follow the plan. I've got to follow the game plan God gives me. And so I'm gonna take a little time. And I told Colin the other day, Colin, you get in the pulpit a while. I got a couple other people at the church. I'm going to let them speak for a season. But there's going to be a little season here. I'm just going to back away, and I'm just going to regroup, and I'm going to let God refresh me, and I'm going to get some fresh perspective on some things. And when I come out of that, the glory of God, hallelujah, is going to be on my life. It's going to be a far more eternal weight of glory that's going to come. But see, that was the game plan. God always gives you a game plan. That's what this word perfect means. It means He's going to give you a game plan. He's going to give you a word. He's going to give you a strategy to get out of that escape room. But it comes through revelation. It comes through an understanding of the word. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 28 says, besides everything else, this man went through more pressure situations than anybody else in the Bible except for Jesus. He says, besides all of these other pressure-packed situations that I went through, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show what? My weakness. Not physical weakness, my weakness before God that says, God, unless you do this, nothing's going to happen. Unless you work through me, your glory is in me, and the grace of God comes, it's not going to happen. But I got to step back, and I got to make sure that glory is still upon my life. It says, verse 31, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, now here was a pressure-packed situation that Paul went through. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But, see, here's God's game plan. They were wondering, what are you going to do, Paul? He's going to take you in. He's going to whack your head off. You felt the pressure of that, man. I'm getting ready to lose my life in this city. And what did he do? He returned to God and he said, God, what do you want me to do? How am I going to get out of this place? And he gave him a strategy. And he said, listen, I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. Listen, that came to him. He said, how am I going to get out of here? And some of the disciples were down. All of a sudden, the word of God came. We'll know how we'll do it, Paul. We'll stick you in a basket. What's the basket? The basket speaks of Jesus, amen, because that's what Moses was put in. He's put in a little ark, you see, and put down. That speaks of being in Christ. See, that's being under the yoke of Christ. And he says, we're going to put you in a basket, and we're going to put you through a window in this pressure-packed wall you face. What is the window? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. See, in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to escape this thing. The pressure is going to come off your life, amen. Paul got the strategy of the Lord. He said, I slipped through this because I followed God. I followed His plan. He gave me a game plan. It was His perfection in my life. I went to Boy Scouts when I was a kid. We grew up doing the Boy Scout thing. We went on camping trips. One time we went down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina to do a camping trip. And the scoutmaster pulled us all aside and he sat us down and he said, boys, I got some real important instructions for you. And I want you to listen to me. And he said, when you go home, I want you to go home and I want you and your daddy to make you some real long tent stakes. About that long. Because you're going to need them. About 2 foot long tent stakes. Because you're going to need them. You know what that did? It went in this ear and out the other. Most of us sitting there listening to that guy didn't take heed to anything he said. We got down to the Outer Banks. And we camped on the beach down there in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And we set our tents up when we got down there that night. We set everything up. We got everything. We had the campfire roar and everything like that. We noticed the wind. The wind began to come, right? A nor'easter started coming up the coast, right? Well, we all went to bed that night. We laid in our tents. We were laying in bed. And we heard the wind whipping. We felt the tents begin to flap, man. Me and my friend were in our tent together. We were laying on the ground. Next thing I know, I felt my back getting wet because the rain started coming. And the winds were blowing. And it just kept getting larger and larger and larger. And the next thing you know, our tent just went, whoop, whoo. We were laying there with nothing. We had no cover. We jumped up, we scrambled up, we got what we could, and we ran into the bathroom, down the way into this bathroom. We slept in a bathroom all night. Cold, wet bathroom. All because we didn't listen to the scoutmaster say you need to get some long stakes about that long. See, those long stakes, if we'd have just heeded what he said and used those stakes in that sandy soil, we wouldn't have had a problem at all. We'd have stayed put. We'd have been fine, but we didn't hear it. But Paul had a keen sense. He said, in whatsoever state I am, amen, I'll be content in that state because I'll be listening to God and I'll understand what he's saying to me and I'll have a way of escape. And that's what we are to do. Listen, God is always speaking his word. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you will never go through anything harder than you can stand because God says that. If it's overwhelming, then we need to come under the yoke of Jesus, which is listening to what he's saying, right? Listen to God because he's going to give us a word in season. A word in season to those who are under the pressure. Number two, establish. Now that we're settled, we have a game plan from God. Number two is we're established. That word means to set fast, to place firmly, or it could mean total reliance. Total reliance, okay? 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10 says, "And we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death." They thought they were going to die. "But this happened not that we might not rely or trust in ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." So we've got the game plan, and now we know what God's saying to us to do. And now we're going to enter into a place of trust with God. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight. So now we're entering into a place of trusting God. You see, those long tent stakes that should have been placed in the ground for my tent, if those would have been put in the ground in my tent there, I would have had no problem sleeping through the night. I would have been at total rest. Why? Because the word is implanted. The word has been staked in my life. The word is totally part of what I'm doing at that time. And now I'm settled. I am now in this place where I'm established in God, and I don't have to worry about all the winds and the wave and the pressure that I feel. Because God's word is strong. It helps me to be established in him. Amen? And then we move on here. Now, I'm not saying the pressure hasn't left yet, because the pressure's still there. The pressure is still going on inside of my life. But every one of these things that I come to, I've got my game plan. Now I'm trusting fully in God. That's why you want to say that you don't want to trust in yourself. You want to trust in the things of God. You want to put yourself totally into what he's spoken to you to do. And you can sleep in the storm. Then it comes to the next thing, strengthen. And that word means to make strong or unbreakable. To make strong or unbreakable. Now, here's a good thing to learn right here. The word of God is unbreakable, okay? The word of the Lord is like the wineskins that they made wine in back in the day, right? You don't put new wine in what? Old wineskins. Less what? It busts open and the wine is spilled out. You see, the wineskins, the old wineskins, they had no flex to them. They had no flexibility to them. But the new wineskins, they can flex. They can handle the fermentation that's going on in your life. The pressure that's in there is now, you're able to handle it because you have a revelation from God. You have a word that is new, amen, a new word from God. You say you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. In other words, if you're going to handle things the way you used to handle them, then that thing's going to eventually burst. God's got something new for this new season that you're in. It's going to give you the ability to handle that. So it's that process that where God speaks. We've got a present word from the Lord, and now when the pressure's still there, amen, we're able to flex with it, amen. We're able to handle it, and that bursting is not going to take place because we have been given God's word. Amen. Psalms 119, 143 says, as pressure and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. Okay, the commandment of the Lord, we find joy in it. What is the joy? The joy of the Lord is your what? Your strength. You see, when I've got joy in my life, where the commands of God have come to me and now I'm joyful, you know, when everything goes haywire around me, I don't let it get to me anymore. The stress is off. The pressure is to a place where I can handle it again. Amen. Now I'm not blowing up every little thing. You know, I told Colleen the other day, I came home and she started saying something to me. I said, Colleen, wait, before you say it, is it negative or positive? And she said, I won't say it. Because see, I was on edge. You see, because I had not learned that I've got to get over into God. I've got to find a place of grace so I can flex. So that if I hear a negative report, it doesn't devastate me. She said, I won't say it. I said, Colleen, only thing I want to hear from the next week is anything positive. If it's positive, then say on. If it's negative, please don't say it. Because my wineskin's about ready to bust. Amen. I'm about at that place where I'm going to bust here. Just being real with you today. But see, when we have a new wineskin, you see, now that I've got the Word of God for that situation I went through, I can take the negative now because I got the Word. Because see, the new word from God flexes. It's flexible. It can take it. It's like hefty, 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 right? You can keep putting it in, it ain't going to break. Because you've got a new word from the Lord, and in the new word, you're flexible. You're, oh, okay, sure thing, man, but I know what I got. I got something from God, and I can flex with this because I know where I stand now. I'm no longer sitting in old wineskins. I'm standing in a new word from God. And that wine can now ferment and take place. And it's not going to bother me anymore because I can flex with it. I can flex with it. I can go with the situation that's going on. And I'm joyful. I feel joy about what's coming. I'm looking forward to the days ahead. I have like, yes, Lord, you finally got to me. I got the word. Now I'm going to have some fun with God. Amen. I'm not going to let this pressure get to me anymore. Oh, Pastor Bill, 3 more people left the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we just got this bill the other day for extra $4,000. Well, hallelujah. See, you can flex when you got a word from God. You can flex. You can say, okay, I don't care what's happening. I got God's word. I got the plan. I got the game plan. I got a way of escape. Amen. I'm not going to worry about this stuff anymore because I got a way out. And it diffuses all that pressure off of me because, no, you know what? God's word is unshakable. It's unshakable. It's unbreakable. Hallelujah. Amen. You won't break when you're standing in the word of God. You'll have strength. That's why it says he will strengthen you. And then lastly, is the last stage of this, is the word settle. First of all, he perfects us, he establishes us, he strengthens us, and then he settles us. Now I'm settled. I'm like, whew, that was a rough season. But now I'm just feeling good. I'm settled. I'm settled in God. I'm settled in what He's saying. I'm settled in the future of where we're going because I have something from the Lord. And this word settle means to make stable or to establish. And I got a scripture to share with you, one last scripture here that says this. Luke chapter 6, verse 48 says, "And he is like a man building a house who dug deep and he laid the foundation on the rock." That word in the Greek, foundation, there is the same word that we got out of 1 Peter chapter 5 for the word settle. It's the same word. It's a foundational word. It means you've got your foundation. It's a foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded, it was settled on a rock. Man, when you're on that rock, come on now, when you're on that rock, let those waves come, let that wind blow. I ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. I got the rock. I'm standing on the rock. I am settled down into that bedrock of my faith where nothing can shake me now. You ever wonder why Jesus can sleep through a storm? Because he was settled. He always had a fresh word from God. He sought the Lord all the time and he said, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to get in this boat and we're going to go to the other side." He heard God tell him that. So when the storm came, he could sleep. He wasn't worried about it. Because he was going with God's fresh word from heaven. He had something he could stand on. He was settled in God. And that's where we need to stay all the time, man. I'm telling you. I'm just encouraging you today that if you're going through a pressure time, anybody out there just feeling pressure right now, that they feel pressure in life, okay, most of us feel that in a lot of ways. If you're going through that, I'm gonna just lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But I want you to just encourage you. I feel so good right now. I'm telling you right now. I feel good because, man, I spoke to my wife and I said, "This is what I believe God's telling me." And when I spoke that to her the other day, it was like I felt something release off of me, man. I felt that pressure, man. It was just like, whew, that's what God wanted me to do. I couldn't hear it for a while, but I finally got it. He was probably speaking that to me about 2 months ago, but I wouldn't listen. I was like, "I got to keep, you know, plowing and grinding, and man, I got to stay at the wheel, Lord." And he said, "No, no, 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 no. You're in your flesh right now. You're over there working it out in your own strength. You're not walking in the grace of God any longer. And your yoke is so overburdened to you, you feel like you're going to collapse at any minute." I got a chest cold on Christmas Eve. I got this chest cold, and I thought I had COVID. And I was talking to Colleen about it. She said, "You better go get checked out." And I went to this doctor. It was a clinic. They were open on New Year's Eve, on Christmas Eve. I got there late. I was probably the last patient in there. They took me in there, and I was having trouble breathing. I was coughing. I was gagging. And that lady looked at me and said, "What's the deal?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I'm just going through a real tough. I've got congestion, and I'm having a tough time breathing. I don't know what to do here." And she said, "Okay, well, here's what we're going to have to do for you. We're going to have to give you a chest x-ray, an EKG. We're going to give you blood tests. And all the while I'm seeing these dollar signs going ching, 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 ching." And it escalated the pressure. I'm like, now not only do I feel this way, but now I've got a big bill coming next week sometime to pay. Talking about pressure, more pressure. I walked out of there. They did a test on me for COVID. I couldn't get the results back for 3 days later because they were closing for Christmas and all that. I'm like, man, now I got to wait. And I got home. Colleen said, "You should have done the rapid test." And I said, "What rapid test?" I didn't even know. It was just a bad, bad deal. Christmas Eve, man. Supposed to be celebrating Christ. And here I am all pressure-packed, just angry and frustrated. And it turned out it was a negative test. I didn't have COVID. But the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You know, this came on you, not because this just happened, but because your immune system is so low right now because you're walking outside of the realm of my grace right now." And I felt, oh God, you're right. And you know what brought it on? I went to the mall. I went Christmas. I mean, I'm going over a little bit of time here. I'm going to give you a little bit of time. I went to the mall Christmas shopping right before Christmas, day before New Year's Eve, and I went out. And I was angry already, and everybody was cutting me off. And one woman come around the corner. I was getting out of my car. She come around and go, whoo, and I'm like, you idiot. You know, I was just like, I was in a rage. And I believe that's when I got that sickness, when I got angry. It opened a door up for that to come on me. I'm like, God, you don't want me sick. You don't want me feeling this way. And he says, you're absolutely right. I don't want you going through any of this because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, no, you got to get back into my grace. You step out of that pulpit for just a little while and you get back into me and you let yourself be refreshed in me because I got a greater glory for your life. It's going to work for you a far greater work of glory in your life. You're going to come out of this. You're going to be worshiping and singing and dancing. Amen. Because I'm going to infuse my glory into your life. And that fermentation process that you just went through, you're going to come out on the other side of that, and that's going to be the best wine because I saved the best for last. Amen. It's going to be the best wine that you've ever had because you let this process play out in you and you got to where you were listening to me and getting back over into what you needed to hear. And that's what brought me freedom. Amen. Praise God. I was that close to blowing the pressure cooker off. And it's like, boom. What was that? That was Dad's wine under the house. Oh, don't let that happen, man. Let God diffuse that. Find what God's saying. Can we just stand to our feet? Can I close with a prayer, Brother Bill, and just go ahead and lead in a prayer? Amen. And if you're going through any type of pressure right now, I just want to, you know, just encourage you to just be sincere with God. And you just say, Lord, show me what to do. And I'm going to lead you in this prayer because David wrote this psalm when he was going through a real pressure-packed time. And he says this in Psalm chapter 4, verse 1. He says, God, you are my righteousness, my champion defender. Answer me when I cry for help. Whenever I was in distress, you enlarged me. I'm being squeezed again. I need your kindness right away. Grant me your grace. Hear my prayer. And set me free. That was David's prayer. He was being squeezed. He was feeling the pressures of life. And he said, Lord, hear my prayer. Grant me your grace and set me free. So if you just raise your hands to the Lord just for a moment. We're just going to pray. We just want to pray for you. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity today to share part of my life with this congregation. I'm just a man like anybody else. Called to do something for you, just like all these people out here are called. They're all called to work for you. They're all called to walk in the gift that they've been called, that you've called them into. But I know that life isn't always fair. Life isn't always like a rosy red patch. But it sometimes goes through difficulties where the pressures of life seem so overwhelming that we don't even know if we're going to get out of it or not. We can't find that way of escape. But Lord, today I just pray that this winning formula that you shared with me about what to do when we find ourselves in these places, that this winning formula would come to this church, to these people. God, speak. Speak your word. Speak a word in season to these people. To those that are weary, speak a word down deep inside. Let it come alive. Let that revelation knowledge. Lord, we don't seek just a word. We need a revelatory word. We need a now word. We need a new word. We need a new wineskin, God. So bring that new word, that new wineskin to your people in this season. They're feeling the pressure, God, but they need a word. They need a way of escape. They need to let that pressure subside. And Lord, when we've come through this process, the pressures of life might go away, but they might not. But the thing is, now we've overcome it all. The pressure might still be there. The waves and wind may still be there. But now we're settled in you. And we're not shakable any longer. But we're strong. Because the greater one lives in us. Greater is he who lives in us than he who lives in this world. Thank you, Father, for just blessing your people with an understanding and a revelation of the plan of God for their lives. We thank you now. We praise you for your goodness towards them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you. It's been great to...